How many of you, when it comes to the Holy Spirit, are willing simply to allow Him to lead your life?
Yes, amen.
You know, there are times since I've been a kid, and I know that's a long time ago. There are times since I've been a kid, I have to put aside some teachings that didn't connect with where God's taking me. And you may look at me and say, well, what are you talking about? I'm talking about things that were taught that may not be totally Bible true. How many of you would rather be Bible true than the Bible's insignificant? And all I want to do, and I just want this congregation to say, God, we want the Holy Spirit to move, and we're not putting any limitations on Him.
Amen.
Is that okay?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
And I'm not saying we're going to be clucking like chickens or barking like dogs or howling like wolves. I'm not saying that. I'm saying, God, I believe in the Holy Spirit. And I believe God in the Holy Spirit and what He wants to do. And I believe, God, what You have told me about the Holy Spirit in Your Word. Are we okay with that?
Yes, sir.
Okay, turn with me to John chapter 7. Okay, take a deep breath. Look at me. The Holy Spirit can do a lot more in your life than just make you speak in tongues. Okay? I speak in tongues, okay? But I'm not pushing tongues. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Okay? I'm not going to say you're speaking tongues or you're going to hell, or speaking tongues and you're not part of the in group, or speaking tongues and this, speaking tongues that. I believe in the work of the Holy Spirit. That's what I'm promoting. Anybody misunderstood me? I don't want a group of people leaving the church because pastor's pushing. I'm not pushing tongues. Fact is, I'm not even going to talk about them. All I'm pushing is you receive what the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life. Can we live with that? Okay. In my devotions, I had John 4 and 5 yesterday, or 3 and 4. And I got to the woman at the well. Okay? How many of you have ever read The Woman at the Well? And Jesus was talking about her being thirsty. Jesus says, give me a drink. And she looks at Jesus and says, why would you ask a Samaritan woman for a drink? Because the Jews don't fellowship with Samaritans. And Jesus looked at her and didn't answer her question, okay? Jesus was very shrewd at not answering questions. You say, what are you talking about? Well, the Pharisees come to him and say, why do your disciples not fast and our disciples and John's do? And Jesus said, well, you can't put new wine in an old wine bottle. Huh? What'd that have to do with fasting? You know, you don't tie a new rag on an old piece of garment. What'd that have to do? You see, so you start going over this stuff and you're saying, Jesus, did you miss a question? I'm going to tell you, Jesus wasn't a politician. They miss every question. So we come to a place now where Jesus is talking at the feast, and this is what he says. And I started thinking as I was working on this, do you ever feel, I just want you to think about this now, do you ever feel, even though you're with Christ, there's something more? You know, Jesus said, if you drink of this water, you're going to be satisfied. But every once in a while, there's something in my life, there's a craving for more. Anybody go through that? They're just a craving. God, there's something I'm missing. Okay, here's what he says. John 7:37. He says, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture had said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Okay. I hear testimonies. I hear people talking about God. I hear people talking about their Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit in their lives. And I get thirsty. I'm not looking to condemn someone where the Holy Spirit is ministering. I'm looking to plug in and believe what God's doing in their life and then saying, why can't that happen here? Why can't Josh and John's eyes be healed? Why can't people with pain walk without pain? Why can't the worst drug addict in Sisseton or your community be saved? Right? Why can't everybody in that jail be born again? You know, there's a place in Columbia where they absolutely closed the jail and made it into something else because revival was moving in the land, true revival, not make-believe, not made up, not thought about, but true revival where people were coming to Christ. How many's ever watched the transformation videos? The transformation videos, Fiji Islands were in the transformation videos where they were starving basically because the oceans have quit, fish quit breeding, fish left. All this stuff happened and they begin to pray. They had a service where they brought in some of the missionaries because a missionary was killed there by some people. And after all this stuff came, God took them to places in the land that were satanic, and they cleansed them through the blood of Jesus, and the fish came back. And there was a growth of the crops, like in Alamunga, Colombia, where they were getting one truckload of crops a month. They were getting seven truckloads of vegetables a week. Transformation. The Bible says the earth is groaning. How many have ever read that? Yeah. Waiting for redemption. And you may say, well, that's okay for them. No, I believe that there's a message for every single community in every single state that God wants to send and draw people to him through his miraculous supply, through his miraculous healing, through his miraculous acts. And that is coming as we surrender our lives, not only to Jesus Christ, but say, Holy Spirit, do what you want.
Yes.
Let it happen. Turn with me to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. Verse number 1. Are we there?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Shelley, is anybody else?
Yeah.
Do you remember why Isaiah is? Okay. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come and buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without price and without money and without price. Why do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your wages for that does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good. Let your soul delight itself in abundance. Come to the waters. What's he talking about? Go back to chapter 12 and verse 3. Whoops. chapter 12 and verse 3. Therefore, with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Okay, look at me. Kirk, come on up here. I've trained him good. I hope he remembers. Otherwise, I'm going to...
I was just getting comfortable. It's about this point that I start dozing off.
I knew that. I didn't want you snoring and waking up the babies. In your recollection, what's included in salvation?
Oh my goodness. Everything that Jesus paid for. Okay. Not just our destination, but everything for here today. Yes. Walking in the presence and the power of God, walking in His, everything that He is now is imparted to us. Jesus was the light of the world. Now we are the light of the world. We're salt and light. Everything that He is hope, He's joy, He's love. We then become clothed with hope, joy, love, life, freedom from sickness, the ability to forgive when it's humanly impossible to forgive. The hard things then become filled with grace to walk in freedom from bondage and sickness and sin.
That's almost pretty good. The old guy will finish it for you. How many of you... That was good. I like that excitement. How many of you have ever been oppressed by the devil? Ever had a bondage? How many of you have ever known someone who needs deliverance?
Yes.
How many have ever known someone who needs healing?
Yes.
How many have ever known someone that just needs to have joy and peace, as Kirk was talking about, and hope? You see, all that's incorporated into salvation. You know what we associate with salvation? Having our sins forgiven. So there's healing, there's deliverance. Oh, how many have more month than money? Anybody have more month than money? There is a realm of spiritual prosperity. You know, Jesus said something like this: seek ye first the kingdom of God, and I'll give you a few things.
All these things.
Was he talking about food and clothing and raiment? Yes. He was talking about all that stuff. And so as we walk with God, and as we draw from those wells of salvation, it's not, I mean, you, if all he gave us was salvation of forgiveness of sins, that would be plenty.
Yes, sir.
We don't, you know, like the video said, we don't deserve that. But God has plans for your life, and that your soul prospers and be in health.
Amen.
And so we come to this place where every once in a while I just have to come to a place of saying, God, show me. God, just show me. I know there's more than what I have, and I'm not trying to hog the gifts of God or the blessings of God. I just want to see what you want to do. I want to see what you want to do. Not putting money ahead of God. Hey, we don't do that. Not putting healing ahead of God. But God is a healer. Nothing goes ahead of Him. But He's involved in a lot of it. Right, Eric? I mean, praise God. I mean, we should go home and we should be dancing.
Yes,
you know? Yeah. My hips get healed. I'm dancing, man.
Yeah.
Why? Because another life's coming into the world, but a promise of God is being fulfilled that was made a couple years ago.
Yes, amen.
Can we handle that?
Yes, sir.
Can we believe that God sees the future and already been there?
Yes.
Can we see that God sees our future, your future? And can we handle that God has the best in mind for you? That doesn't mean we don't have some speed bumps. That doesn't mean something might go not go might go wrong. But God is there to support us.
Yes.
I said, there's a couple things I've learned. Number one, I can't trust my emotions at all times. Anybody know that?
Yes, sir.
I can't always trust my emotions and keep putting one foot ahead of the other and keep walking it out. And God's going to help you. No matter what you've been through, no matter what's going on, no matter what's happening, there's our wells of salvation that we can draw out of. That water of God, you know, it's not in a bottle. It's in your spirit. It's in the Holy Spirit. And He wants to help you. He really wants to help you. Go to Isaiah chapter, I better look, I think it's 44:3. Isaiah 44:3. Now listen to this. For I will pour water on him who is thirsty and floods on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit on your descendants and my blessings on your offspring. They will spring up among the grass like willows by the water parts. One will say, I'm the Lord's. Another will call himself by the name of Jacob. Another will write with his hand, the Lord's, and name himself by the name of Israel. Why did I put that in there? It was kind of fitting this morning. I don't know why I put it in there. But then we start hearing about kids coming back to Christ. I was preaching in Virginia, Minnesota, and a lady got up and said, God spoke to her and said, the prodigals are coming home. That's an amen. But what are we allowing God to change so they stay home? Amen. God is bringing the prodigal home. The dad had the robe. He had the rings. He had the fatted calf. There were things that were changing as the prodigal come home. And of course, the prodigal changed from dad give me to dad make me. You ever see that? Prodigal, when he left, said, dad give me what's mine. When the prodigal was on his way home and met his dad, he said, Dad, make me. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me one of your hired servants. No, God gives, but God's more interested in making us than giving to us. Forming in us what he wants. So as the kids come home, the prodigals come home, there needs to be a change from, I told you so. Don't let that be the first words out of your mouth. To, I love you. Welcome. Let's feast. Let's eat together. Dad, give me the keys to the car. No. But there are things that have to happen in our lives and through the Holy Spirit. And he says, I will pour my spirit on your descendants. There are very few people who cannot respond to what God is doing through his Holy Spirit as he's pouring that out upon him. Amen or
amen?
Some of you have children that drive you up a wall. Get down from the wall. Just love your kids. You know, the Bible says something that's very interesting. I don't know how did I get here. The Bible said something very interesting. And that is simply this. Don't break the spirit of your kids. You may think they're a little bit, well, I won't even say that. They're hyper. Okay, they're a little bit hyper. I don't want my kids laying in. Well, there were times I did. I don't want my kids just laying in bed not doing anything. I have a daughter here today. And she loved the mountains. Oh, Dad, I love the mountains. And you can ask Judy. And she had the back couch of the van. That was hers. The other kids each had a bucket. Tracy had the back seat. And we'd be driving along, oh, we'll be in the mountains tomorrow, Trace. Oh, yeah, hallelujah, praise God. We'd get the mountains, she'd be sleeping. Sound asleep. Sound asleep, just absolutely out. Oh, don't bother me. Kids, wake her up. We're in the mountains. Oh, I don't want. True. It's true. And so we need to allow God to work in our children and praise God for what he's doing. And discipline is just training. You know, you may have different ways of training, and I'm not even going into that. But discipline is child training. You know, God doesn't beat you up when he disciplines you. God basically will try to get you back into the Word when he disciplines you. And let the Word work in your life. Anyway, he'll pour his blessings on your offspring. Can't ask for much more than that, can we? Let's go back to John 7. John chapter 7. Are we okay?
Yeah.
John chapter 7. He who believes in me, okay? Am I preaching to a bunch of believers?
Yes.
How many believe? Raise your hand. Okay. How many are wondering if you believe or not? Okay.
38.
Verse what? 38. Chapter 7. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Okay, let me ask you a question. Are you a spring or are you a pump? Remember the old pumps? You had to prime them. So, if God is going to use us, am I a pump? Is he just got to keep pumping? Or am I a spring that just comes? You see, when you believe in him, it's what comes out of us that ministers to people. We get strengthened inside. We have the Holy Spirit working on us inside. We have God doing things on us inside. And that'll come out. Yeah. Out of your innermost being will flow rivers. We were talking Wednesday night. The Dead Sea is dead because it has no outlet. It takes all the water in and it just stays there. And if all I'm doing, I'm not talking to you folks now, I'm just talking about me. If all I'm doing is taking stuff in from God, blessings from God, and more blessings from God, and more blessings from God, it dies. And so what God wants us to do is just come to a place where we are trusting him. How many understand the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, and self-control. How many understands when God pours that into you, it's not there to stay. It comes out. It comes out at work. It comes out at home. It comes out in church. It comes out as the prayer groups come to pray for people. It comes out when you're teaching Sunday school class. It comes out when you're doing 4-H or you're doing Boy or Girl Scouts. It comes out all the time. It becomes a lifestyle of the fruit of the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
The hardest thing to do is just get mad and throw up your hand and say, I quit. I didn't hear any amens on that one. But it's true. You know, you'll always find things that happen and someone will try to push a button. Amen? God made us that way. We're fine-tuned for button pushers. The key is, what button are you going to let them push? And when the button's pushed, what is your reaction? Now, I've heard, you hear all kinds of things. I heard somebody say, well, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind, that's for sure. Well, I want to keep all I got. I don't have much left. I better keep all those pieces. I might need them. And so we come to a place where the ministry of Jesus came to hungry people. He had some interesting words for the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the lawyers. He had all kinds of words to them. But when it came to the people, he ministered to them. Okay, let me talk about something that you may have been taught or not taught. What about, and he gave gifts to people. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, gift of faith, working of miracles, discerning of spirits. There's tongues in there, interpretation of tongues, prophecy. There's 9 of them. Do you know something? Almost every one of you have been used by some of those gifts and you don't even know it. Do you know that? You have had a word for somebody. You had a word of wisdom for somebody. You had an encouragement for someone. You built up somebody. You comforted somebody. And you don't even know where those words came from. And I don't know where they came from until I start thinking. And then I realize, hey, they came from God. I had a guy look at me the other day and say, that's just what I needed to hear. I said, really? Where'd it come from? Didn't come from me. Just didn't come. And so what's happening is the Holy Spirit is using, ministering through us at times, and we don't even know it. And if you want to keep it that way, that's fine. But I think it's deeper. I think there's more. And I'm not saying, hey, you got to be charismatic, you got to be Pentecostal, you got to be this. What's a title?
Amen.
What's in a title?
Exactly.
I just want to be a child of God.
Amen.
And being a child of God, I just want Him to minister through me as He pleases. Because I've messed up. Talking about Eric and Jinky, some people know this. I talked about it before. I was in Dove Christian Center in Rapid City preaching, and lady came forward and she said, my husband and I want a baby, and I felt so strong that they were going to have a baby. So I said, I believe in the next 9 or 10 months or a year, you'll have a baby. Well, she didn't. Now, God didn't make the mistake. And so she said, you know, I didn't have the baby, but I thank you for saying what you said. And I said, how can you do that? And she said, because I didn't have the baby, I went to see gynecologist. Is that lady doctor? Okay. Sarah, help me now. And she said, if you wouldn't have given me that word and I wouldn't have went to the doctor, I would have died of cancer. I said, you know something? That's wonderful you found the cancer, but I didn't speak the truth. Forgive me. And there are times, let's just be real, there are times that out of excitement or out of compassion or out of things going on, we'll get ahead of God. I've done it. But it doesn't mean His Holy Spirit ever lies. And so there are times I've missed it. What do? I say, God, I don't want to do that again. I want to make sure I know Your voice. I want to make sure I hear. And you say, well, why would you put yourself at risk of that? Because people need God. People need to hear encouragement. People need a word of wisdom and word of knowledge and gift of faith and the working of miracles. I don't want to have a miracle every day. Look at me. I don't want to have to need a miracle every day. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? That's you should. No, no. To have a miracle every day means that something's out of order every day. But there's never been a day of miracles, but there's always been a God of miracles. So we're working this out. As I close this, all I want is for the blessings of God to continue to reign in your lives. And as you have needs, that you can trust the Holy Spirit to be an answer and bring the answer. God wants to minister to you. God wants to touch you. God desires that you come to a place where the Holy Spirit is working in your life, and no matter what you're facing, and no matter how tough things seem, and no matter how weak you feel, and no matter what's happening, God is there. And He gives you words. He gives you answers. He encourages you. So what I'm doing, it doesn't mean you have to do it. I'm just inviting you to join me. Every week, I'm just saying, God, I just want more of You. God, let Your Holy Spirit fill me. Take away anything that's carnal in my life. Let's just come to a place, God, where it's You and I, this body of believers, and we're all working with the same objective to reach people for Jesus Christ. To minister people who are hurting, to find a need and meet it, find a hurt and heal it. And you know something? That Holy Spirit lives within you. That Holy Spirit lives within you.